You are listening to the Babblery podcast. Today, I am interviewing Yvette Brooks for the Moms Who Make a Difference series in Growing Up in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Yvette.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are talking in the series of articles that I've been writing called Moms Who Make a Difference. And the idea behind the articles is that, well, first of all, they started during the beginning of the pandemic when the research came out that women were not only having to continue the work that they were doing pre-pandemic, but they were also doing the lion's share of childcare and education that that they were now having to do because their childcare had closed and their schools had closed. And so the idea originally was that there were still women out there and how were they doing it? And things, of course, have changed. Schools are sort of open. Childcare is sort of open, you know. But the situation still remains that women have usually a different relationship with their kids than men do. That's not true of every specific couple, but it is true on a larger scale. So that's sort of what the article is about. Is basically about how do you balance being someone who's out there in the community and working in the community with being a mom? And, you know, we all want to be a good mom, right? So that's hard. So why don't we start by, you know, let me ask you, pre-pandemic, if you can even remember that, what was your life like? So you have a kid. How old is she?
She's 7 years old.
Okay, so she pre-pandemic, she was 5, right?
Yeah.
So think back to when she was 5 and you know, describe your life, what you were doing for work and childcare and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, so gosh, so that was 2020. So I was already in office. So I won my elected position in 2018. So
That's mayor of Capitola. I wanted to interject there.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so I was in office in 2018. So Sedona, my daughter, was a bit younger when I took my seat. So what my life looked like, though, was interesting. You made a really great point, Suki, earlier on about the choices we make as mothers. And I decided to start a family at the age of 30 and really put a lot of thought into whether that was going to be a good decision for our family or not, for my husband and I. And we really took a long time. I mean, my husband and I dated for 7 years. It took us close to 3 years to decide whether we wanted to have children. And what a luxury, right? To even have that as an option in our lives. And so the interesting part about your point, though, about the choices we have to make as women, is that I had to make the big pause, right? The big pause in life about whether I wanted to add this to the list of other things I wanted to accomplish in my life, in my lifetime. And so I did. We wanted to have a baby. And so I wanted to start the story with that because I definitely had a choice then, and so many women don't have choices. And that is really something that I don't take for granted. And so at that time I was working at the Santa Cruz County Office of Education, and in what's called the SELPA Special Education Local Plan. I was sitting behind a desk, but I was also able to meet many wonderful people. And in 2016, I actually ran the campaign for Martine Watkins, who currently holds a seat in Santa Cruz. And what was really neat about that was the time of 2016 when the president took seat, President Trump won his position. And I think that was a time, you said this might be on a podcast, this might be live at some point, but that's when all hell broke loose, right? I was thinking, like, for women, wow, this is really a time of change and fear. And I now have a daughter, and I really needed to think about that and my life and my next steps and what I could really take on more above and beyond a full-time job and being a mom and balancing all of that stuff. So I got a little ahead of myself, but I think I really just wanted to begin with the fact that I was able to choose to have a family and make that decision for myself. And in addition, continue to work on my personal growth and goals and for myself.
Yeah. And that is, you know, that's what we want for women, right? We want to have a society that allows women to choose to, say, pause their career for 5 years and stay home with kids and then be able to start their career up or to continue their career while they have kids, if that's what they need. And that's what we're looking for in our society, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the choice.
And you know, it's almost like I can't stress enough how grateful I am to have a life that working at the Santa Cruz County Office of Education, whose entire mission is to support family and their children, understood that I had a child, that I needed to figure out childcare, or I needed to leave work, or there was a lot of flexibility built into working for an organization like that, you know, and who fostered and helped me grow I started at, I think, 21 at the County Office of Education. I think I just turned 21.
Wow.
And so they, it was a family, and they really supported all of the decisions I made and allowed me to network and meet people and thus run for office in 2018.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So then the pandemic hits, and, you know, like you mentioned, no matter what your politics, 2016 to 2020 was a real time of turmoil in this country. Even the people who had voted for Trump were in turmoil because of this sense in our country that we're constantly battling now, that really wasn't there before. This is, you know, I like to remind people, this is not the way things were. I mean, Democrats really, really hated George W. Bush. And Republicans really, really hated Clinton. But that was very, very different from what we started having. And then we get the pandemic. And so when you saw, you're the mayor of Capitola, as mayor, what were you concerned about with the pandemic?
Yeah. So, well, what I would add to what you just said is that I currently finished my term as mayor. So in the city of Capitola, it's a 4-year term, and we rotate. Well, you have to be chosen by your peers. You have to be nominated by your peers to become mayor. So for the year of 2020, I was vice mayor. For 2021, I was mayor. And then this is my last year in my 4-year term in office. And so I'll be rerunning again for Capitola City Council, which I'm excited about. But yeah, so I just wrapped up my year as mayor. And so, yeah, in the middle of pandemic, homeschooling, working full time for the County Office of Education, holding office. I was the mayor. I said that, you know, and then a husband who also was considered essential, but had to leave the home to go work full time.
And what does he do?
So he works for AT&T. He installs internet. And I don't know how closely many of the readers here might know, but a lot of the inequity piece of access to internet during the pandemic was highlighted. And so AT&T was very busy, and he had to go into people's homes every single day and into nursing homes and schools to install cable and internet and things for families, which was a great accomplishment for our county, right, that we were able to give that to all families in the county, but he was the one doing the work, and so that was a very scary time. So I don't know that I've recovered, because I'm still in the middle of it. I'm still in the middle of this like survival mode. Every day I wake up, the first thing I do, how's everyone feeling? Does anyone have a stuffy nose? Does anyone have a cough? Does anyone? And so the level of stress definitely came to a head during this time. And I think you might have heard of this term called the Great Resignation. And I really evaluated my career at that moment, or last year, because they asked me to come back to the office. I was working remotely. And for me, with the ebb and flow of schools opening and closing, I had our neighborhood worked together. We all decided we would have a cohort of our kids, and we would just share childcare and just support us mamas all together. And I had a neighbor who I paid to help take care of my kid on certain hours when I had to work, and then I took care of the schooling. And it was just this beautiful collaboration that I really wouldn't have been able to succeed if I didn't have that. So I examined my career. I stepped back, and when they asked me to come back, and knowing that I was capable of working from home, I said I just couldn't do it anymore. I was at the county office for over 15 years, and it literally broke my heart, and still breaks my heart, to not be there supporting children the way that I so believe in. And I applied for a different job, and I'm now the new executive director for a nonprofit called Your Future is Our Business, which also continues to work with students in fostering their career exploration opportunities and provide career exploration opportunities. And so by doing that, kind of offered this kind of sense of breath and ease, because I could manage my own time and really focus on my kid and my safety and my family, and change things up, because it was a very nerve-wracking, it continues to be a very nerve-wracking time for so many people.
Yeah. And from the point of view of being a mom, how has this period been? I mean, one of the interesting things about young kids is that this is just life. Right. So because they remember, but they're very much in the moment. So for her, what is it like? Have you seen her change in how she is in the world, and how is she doing with all the stuff you said, the ebb and flow of school? So,
you know, it's interesting because she's definitely become more independent. And I often think, is that because we've spent so much time together? because I'm always around her and always fussing around her and worried. And so that's one thing that's come out of it, is that she's definitely become more independent. And that could be all just biologically normal from 5 to 7, obviously, you know, when they sleep in your bed versus she's sleeping in her own bed. And putting herself to sleep and things like that. But how is she doing? You know, I thought I was doing a pretty damn good job of homeschooling. Like we had a plan, it worked. We had a schedule. Having so many different jobs and sitting on so many different boards and commissions, I have to have a crazy schedule. And so building into like what she was doing from 8 to 2, and I thought we did a really good job, and she was academically growing. And then when school came back, man, did she like bloom into another child that was thriving in a whole different way, that made me realize how important it was for children to be around other children. And like, I know that. I studied that. That's what I studied at UCSC. Like, I knew all of this, but seeing it in real life really, it was a really sad realization of how this pandemic has truly negatively impacted our kids by not giving them that. And I want to say it's the pandemic's fault. It's not the system's fault. It's not the decisions the schools made or the teachers or the parents or the elected officials or our government that, you know, it's the pandemic that had to, that really negatively impacted our kids. And so she's in school. She's doing great. Every week they get COVID tested. And like you said, it's this new reality of just what it is in her life. And there's a lot of mental health assistance and check-ins and things like that that the school is providing. You know, it's these really odd, scary conversations I have to have every day with her about reminding her to wear a mask and wear it appropriately. Don't touch your face. Don't, you know, wash your hands before you eat. These little tools in my tool belt that I as a parent only have to keep my kids safe above and beyond the rest of all the other things that truly, that also could hurt my child, like looking both ways when crossing the street, wearing a helmet when you ride your bike, you know, those other things, those normal things. Now I have to add this to all those other worries. And so it's stressful, and it's continuously stressful. Nothing has eased. I told you earlier before we started recording, I was just reading about flu Rona and this new disease and this other variant, and it's a lot. It's a lot to take on as a parent, and parents have a lot of to deal with right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, it's interesting because we humans, it seems to me that we're much better at dealing with crises that peak and go away quickly. You know, it's like the lion is charging, we raise the spear. we finish that job and we're like, phew, okay, now we can go back to, you know, to the village and sit around the fire and eat. And we're pretty good at that. But we're not doing well with this long-term stuff. What, you know, from, since you're so involved in the community, what do you see in the community that we're doing well, and what do you hope we can do to keep supporting people in our community in this sort of situation that we just have very few skills for?
Yeah, that's a well said. That's a really great point and a great question. I often have these conversations with folks who don't live in Santa Cruz County. We are a community that is very lucky. We live in one of the most beautiful places in the entire world on the planet. And we often, this is what keeps me going, right? This is my survival mechanism. We often forget how lucky we are. We have this sense of entitlement in our community that I see, that we forget that we can be outside. Our numbers are low with our COVID numbers. Well, 6 months ago were low because we could be outside and not surrounded by thousands or hundreds of people walking in the street or at the supermarket or at the mall or you know, we have the luxury of space and fresh air and being outdoors. And so when the pandemic began, so many people just went outside, right? So many people explored things that they never explored in our community. And so what we're really good at is now, 2 years into the pandemic, is utilizing those things around us, those natural parks and all of those things are around us. And what I've seen is people respecting the CDC guidelines and wearing masks and making decisions based off of science and facts. And as we ebbed and flowed, we kind of maintained, like, don't get me wrong, people were very pissed off, business owners and the rest of all of us, like, what do we do? Do we wear a mask now? Do we not? And I'm sitting in meetings with our county health officials and yelling at them too, saying, get your stuff together, as if they knew, right? As if they knew truly what to do either. I mean, and so that's where we falter, I think, of expecting to know what's next. I think that, and so your point of, like, we're really good at dealing with the beginning and the end. You're right. That is definitely where we falter with when there is no end. How do we maintain? And so what I've done as a mom is, I think this is the busiest. Well, it makes sense. This is why I've been so busy the last couple of years, you know, holding four jobs and so forth. But I've also been really busy because I've been utilizing the beauty around us and the outdoors and the activities and the things available to us here in Santa Cruz County. And that's what makes Santa Cruz County so special. And so I encourage other moms to do that too when things get rough. And I mean, Suki, tell me, how many times during the pandemic did you see a commercial or read something that said, take care of yourself, watch this 10-minute meditation video? I was like, if I watch another damn video or have to be on the screen any longer, I'm going to fall over. And so, you know, I was like, well, we could go outside, we could go on the trail or go look at the ocean or go to the tide pools or adopt a puppy, which we did, or grow tadpoles and raise them and then release them. I mean, busy in the sense of exploring our natural environment. That was something that really came out of this pandemic, I think, for families, especially in my anecdotal observations that I was able to see. And moving forward, I think our community just needs to know that I mentioned earlier about our tool belts. You know, as a mom, again, I've got my tool belt of sanitizer and space and let's keep our bubbles tight and social distancing when we can. And sorry, we can't go to that concert of 5,000 people. And, you know, there's just better decisions. There's things that in our world we've gotten really lucky, and there's all these luxuries and these great things that we've been able to participate in. But we have to also realize we might have to give some of that up. And that's something we've talked a lot about in our family, especially with my 7-year-old, you know, we can't go into that event because there's too many, or we're not flying right now to go see family. And we're still making those hard decisions, and we're all vaccinated and boosted, and still, because of that unknown, because we don't know when we're going to kill the next woolly mammoth, we have to make those decisions.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that one of the things that I think a lot of us have noticed is we knew we were privileged. I mean, anyone who knows anything about the world knows that we're privileged, and that we in California, coastal California, we're just privileged on top of privileged because we live in the wealthiest nation on earth. We have this high, you know, standard of living to begin with, and then we live in this beautiful place. But the pandemic, it's like it just put that into relief. Like, we just saw the picture. It's like we stepped out of the lives we had. And especially for me, like the shortages at first, like when there was the flour shortage. And my kid, my teenager who was home from high school decided, to really get into baking. And so one day I go to our local little it's hard to describe AJ's. What is AJ's? They call themselves a gourmet gas station. Anyway, I go in there and they've got these enormous 25-pound bags of flour. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to buy it. I buy it and then I'm emailing my neighbors, who needs flour?
Yeah.
What can you trade me for this flour? Mm-hmm. I got a different kind of flour from one person and I got avocados from another person. And it's, you know, it's like we're back in pre-money times when we're bartering for stuff. You know, I scored some flour. What do you have?
Back to those times. And I mentioned earlier, that's what my neighbors and I did. And that was like my new family and this new kind of community that, like you mentioned, the shortages of toilet paper or, you know, or things like that, childcare. I mean, there was none. The city of Capitola, actually, we were one of the first to offer childcare to essential workers because everyone paused. And I'm just like, wait a second, we have to do something about this. And we have to sacrifice these luxuries and put our fears aside. I mean, the Black Lives Matters movement happened during this time and George Floyd happened during this time. And the city of Capitola hosted its very first Black Lives Matters march. And there I was, and I, in the middle of it, and I didn't take my family because there's a pandemic going on, but the world had to continue and we had to put our privilege aside and step up for really what was important. And that's the humanity piece of it. And so as a mom sitting next to my kid 5 hours a day trying to do schoolwork and teach her what a first grader should be doing or a kindergartner or a second grader now, that was so important to me. And to kind of circle back to the beginning of just like making choices and how lucky I am to be able to make those choices. And believe me, we're still blue collared workers. We don't make a lot of money. And I, you know, council members make $700 a month. And so it's not like that's people think we're like these rich people. I mean, I have a tiny condo in Capitola and everyone says, that's a starter home. I'm like, in Capitola, that's our forever home. What are you talking about? We're not going anywhere anytime soon with a $700 a month paycheck. So, you know, it was just like that humanity piece. That's what we have to continue to look at. And for moms, especially who take that, who carry all of that weight, I mean, the laundry list of things to be done every single day pre-pandemic for a mother is wild. And I have an amazing husband who does the laundry, who does the dishes, who puts the kid, who dresses the kid in the morning and does the homework at night, because he recognizes those other 14 to 16 hours of the day is on me with our child. Even when she's at school, I'm dropping her off. I'm there, we're donating. I'm reading her worries that she writes about. And, you know, there's all of that other, the bills. And so moms carry a lot of that. And so the change I'd like to see, what I'd like are, is that I was just recently at this wonderful talk, Thomas H. Peterson, another podcast. What are you guys called? Podcast, radio show hosts. He's started this series of inviting amazing community organizers, and he invited this, the speaker Taj from Santa Cruz to come in, and people were talking like, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And he beautifully, eloquently switched it and said, well, what can you do? If you want to incite change, what can you do? You have to do it too. Everybody. You can't just look at the elected officials and say, you need to do this. To ignite change, we have to work together. And so what I'm seeing a lot of people do is say, we recognize that it's a lot on moms. What are you going to do about it, mom? And I'm like, for heaven's sake, if I have to figure out my own, if I have to add another thing to my list to ignite change for my own self, I change my career for the rest of the moms in the world. We need other people. We need everybody else to support moms. And so that's where we need to start having those conversations about paid leave, paid childcare, universal, you know, childcare from that's paid for from birth to 22, where we see free healthcare for everybody, you know, things that everybody needs, right? And the pandemic has definitely highlighted those needs. Everyone needs access to internet. All, you know, children need to be able to read. How are we providing that? And so there's a lot that moms need, and we can't, we're trying, we're taking office, we're taking over the world, as you're seeing right before your eyes year to year, because we've had it, but we also need the support of everybody else in order to continue to maintain.
Yeah, well, that is really a great place, a great statement to end this interview on. And I appreciate your taking the time, Yvette. This was great. And I look forward to writing about you too.
Oh, thanks, Suki.
Listeners, please check out my article about moms who make a difference featuring Yvette Brooks in the February 2022 edition of Growing Up in Santa Cruz. That's www.growingupsc.com. Thanks, everyone.